Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Greeting. Canto 1, Chapter 3, Krishna's the Source of All Incarnations, Text 32. Ata param yad avyaktam.
Ata param yad avyaktam.
Ata param yad avyaktam.
Avyura guna brimhitam.
Avyura guna brimhitam.
Avyura guna brimhitam.
Avyura guna brimhitam.
Arista struta vastu tvat.
Adhishtha
shruta vastu tvat. Sajivo yat unabhavaha.
Sajivo yat unabhavaha.
Sajivo yat unabhavaha.
Sajivo yat unabhavaha.
Ataparam yadav yaktam.
Ataparam yadav yaktam.
Avyuda guna brimitam.
Avyuda guna brimitam.
Adhishtha shruta vastu tvat.
Adhishtha shruta vastu tvat.
Sajivo yat unabhavaha.
Sajivo yat unabhavaha.
Atah param yat avyaktam.
Atah param yat avyaktam.
Avyudha guna brimhitam.
Avyudha
guna brimhitam.
Adhishtha shruta vastu
tvat.
Sajivo yat punarbhava.
Sajivo yat punarbhava.
Atah param yat avyaktam.
Avyuda
guna brimhitam.
Avyuda guna brimhitam.
Adhishtha shruta vastu tvat.
Adhishtha shruta vastu tvat.
Sajivo yat punarbhavaha.
Sajivo yat punarbhavaha. Ata.
This.
Param.
Param.
Beyond. Yat.
Yat.
Which.
Yes.
Avyaktam,
avyaktam,
unmanifested.
Unmanifested.
Avyuda,
avyuda,
without formal shape.
Without formal shape.
Unabrimitam,
unabrimitam,
affected by the qualities.
Affected by the qualities.
Adrista,
adrista,
unseen.
Unseen.
Ashuta,
ashuta,
unheard.
Unheard.
Vastutva,
vastutva,
being like that.
Being like that.
Sa,
sa,
that.
That.
Jiva,
jivaha,
living being.
Living being.
Yat,
yat,
that which.
That which.
Unabhavaha,
unabhavaha,
takes birth repeatedly.
Takes birth repeatedly.
Translation, purport for his divine grace, is Bhakti Vedanta. Swami Srila Prabhupada. Beyond this gross conception of form is another subtle conception of form, which is without formal shape, and is seen, unseen, unheard, and unmanifested. Living being has his form beyond this subtlety, otherwise he could not have repeated births. I repeat this. Beyond his gross conception. Of form, is another, subtle conception of form, which is without formal shape, and is unseen, unheard,
and
unmanifested.
The living being
has his form
beyond his subtlety.
Otherwise, how could he not? Otherwise, he could not have repeated verse. You didn't have the first one, you can never figure this out. Because he's saying, the subtle conception of the form is without formal shape.
Subtle body?
But subtle body has no formal shape?
Yeah. No, maybe that which cannot be seen by the material eye.
As the gross cosmic manifestation is conceived as the gigantic body of the Lord, so also there is conception of the subtle form, which is simply realized without being seen, heard, or manifested. But in fact, all these gross or subtle conceptions of the body are in relationship with the living beings. The living being has a spiritual form beyond the gross material or subtle psychic existence. The gross body and psychic functions cease to act as soon as the living being leaves the visible gross body. In fact, we say that the living being has gone away because he is unseen and unheard. Even when the gross body is not acting, when the living being is sound asleep, we know that he is within the body by his breathing. So the living being's passing away from the body does not mean that there is no existence of the living soul. It is there, otherwise how can he repeat his birth again and again? The conclusion is that the Lord is eternally existent in his transcendental form, which is neither gross nor subtle like that of the living being. His body is never to be compared to the gross and subtle bodies of the living beings. All such conceptions of God's body are imaginary. The living being has his eternal spiritual form, which is conditioned only by his material contamination. Anybody want to speak on this? No. The next verse.
Yatre me sarasad rupe pratishtide sva samvira avidyat yatmani krite iti tat brahma darshana.
Whenever a person experiences by self-realization that both the gross and subtle bodies have nothing to do with the pure self, at that time he sees himself as well as the Lord. So this is more clear. Before, the difference between the self-realization and material illusion is to know that the temporary or illusory imposition of material energy in the shape of gross and subtle bodies are superficial coverings of the self. The coverings take place through ignorance. Such coverings are never effective in the person of the personality of Godhead. Knowing this convincingly is called liberation, or seeing the Absolute. This means that perfect self-realization is made possible by adoption of godly or spiritual life. Self-realization means becoming indifferent to the needs of the gross and subtle bodies, and becoming serious about the activities of the self. The impetus for activities is generated from the self, but such activities become illusory due to ignorance of the real position of the self. By ignorance, self-interest is calculated in terms of the gross and subtle body, and therefore a whole set of activities is spoiled, life after life. When, however, one meets the self by proper culture, the activities of the self begin. Therefore, a man who is engaged in the activities of the self is called Jiva Mukta, or a liberated person, even in the conditioned existence. This perfect stage of self-realization is attained not by artificial means, but under the lotus feet of the Lord, who is always transcendental. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord said that he is present in everyone's heart, and from him all knowledge, remembrance, or forgetfulness take place. When the living being desires to be an enjoyer of material energy, illusory phenomena, the Lord covers the living being in the mystery of forgetfulness, and thus the living being misinterprets the gross body and subtle mind to be his own self. And by the culture of transcendental knowledge, when the living being prays to the Lord for deliverance from the clutches of forgetfulness, the Lord, by his causeless mercy, removes the living being's illusory curtain, and thus he realizes his own self. He then engages himself in the service of the Lord in his eternal constitutional position, becoming liberated from the conditioned life. All this is executed by the Lord either through his external potency or directly by the internal potency. When a person experiences by self-realization that both the gross and subtle bodies have nothing to do with the pure self, at that time he sees himself as well as the Lord. One more.
Yadya yesho parata devi maya vaishvarari parimati sampanam evati vidur mahimini sve mahiyate.
If the illusory energy subsides and the living energy becomes fully enriched with knowledge by the grace of the Lord, then he becomes at once enlightened with self-realization and thus becomes situated in his own glory. Purport. Because the Lord is the absolute transcendence, all his forms, names, pastimes, attributes, associates, and energies are identical with him. His transcendental energy acts according to his omnipotency. The same energy acts as his external, internal, and marginal energies. And by his omnipotency, he can perform anything and everything, the agency of any of the above energies. He can turn the external energy into internal by his will. Therefore, by the grace of the external energy, which is employed in the illusioning those living beings who want to have it, subsides by the will of the Lord in terms of repentance and penance for the conditioned soul. The very same energy then acts to help the purified living being take progress on the path of self-realization. The example of electric energy is very appropriate in this connection. The expert electrician can utilize the electrical energy for both heating and cooling by adjustment only. Similarly, the external energy, which now bewilders the living being into continuation of birth and death, is turned into internal potency by the will of the Lord to lead the living being to eternal life. When the living being is thus graced by the Lord, he is placed in his proper constitutional position to enjoy eternal spiritual life. Okay. The key point is when the external energy will subside by the will of the Lord in terms of repentance and penance for the conditioned soul. So two things we have to be willing to undergo. First of all, we have to repent that for so long we've been envious of God or taking his role as the enjoyer, the proprietor, the controller. And we have to agree that and we have to be repentant for that. We have to be sorry that we had that misconception, that we have offended the Lord in that way. We have to be truly sorry from the core of our heart. Then, to show that we're actually sorry, we have to undergo austerity to please the Lord. Not just austerity for austerity's sake, but austerities that will glorify the Lord, such as rising early so we can chant the Holy Name in the auspicious time, which is pleasing to the Lord or pleasing to the spiritual master. So austerity is required and repentance. These two things we should be happy to undergo, because then the illusory energy will subside in proportion to how much we are repentant and how much austerity we perform for the pleasure of the Lord. Again, it's not just austerity for austerity's sake. That will make us hard-hearted. So that the mind runs in it. That's not wanted, or the yogis. We want austerity which is pleasing to the Lord. So what kind of austerity is that? No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. These are austerities. Chanting prescribed amount of rounds on our beads, avoiding mundane talk, even probably just reading newspapers. We don't have to go for these things. These things are all chewing the chew. Mundane kata, grama kata, it's called. We should try avoid grama kata, mundane talk, and take up the positive side of spiritual talk. So, there's some trouble involved, but it becomes joyfully performed. It looks like austerity, but Prabhupada says just simply we're asking you to give up poison. Somebody who's addicted to drinking poison, you ask him to give it up, he'll say, well, how is that? But actually, it's only poison. So, it's not really an austerity in one sense. In one sense, everything we do is austerity. In the other sense, everything we do is pleasing. So the austerity becomes pleasing. I give the example of how the boys in Vrindavan, when they first come, because in Vrindavan the water doesn't get too cold, but they don't have hot water, so they take the young boys get up, little cool boys, and they go immediately take a shower in the cold water. It's not so cold, but it's cold. And when they first come, it takes them a few weeks to get used to it. Once they're into it, once they do it, they get habituated, then it's very enlivening to them. They don't hesitate and lament, oh, I have to take a cold shower. They go right in, and then they come out, they feel exhilarated. Just like there's a club that does that. Or the polar bear club. They go into Canada, and they break the ice in the middle of the winter, and they're in. actually do like that. So it's a question of mentality. It can be very difficult from one perspective, but once you're, like a codicil, someone will say, oh, you can't, but it's not very difficult to stir it. Once you're established, once you accept it, then it becomes easy to do. Okay, any questions?
Yeah, I have a question about...
Why?
So this is only by the mercy, I mean, is it just by Krishna's mercy that he turns it? By his own prerogative? Because sometimes they say that when you become a devotee, I've read in certain purports that Prabhupada says that sometimes Maya increases her attack. Yeah, test. And here it's saying that...
Well, he Maya was yeah. If you're really a devotee, or you're just pretending. Uh-huh. She may increase her attack, but if you're a devotee, then it doesn't matter. No, as far as Krishna giving his mercy, but that's generally done on the recommendation. It's like we say, we can initiate it, we have to be recommended by local authorities. So the recommendation is the devotee.
Yeah.
The devotee really feels, the spiritual master feels, please Krishna, give this person your mercy. He is trying so hard to please me like that. Then Krishna will be obliged to help that such a person. So that's why we try to get, first of all, mercy of the Vaishnava. And we should be careful, because not only Guru, but all the Vaishnavas, we have to deal with them all appropriately. And then we can expect, if the Vaishnavas give their blessing, then Krishna will be obliged, because he's controlled by the Vaishnavas. Anything else? Okay, so I'll get down here. A little fast this morning.